evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord again. This evening we welcome you, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will meet with us as we're in his house this evening. To those online again, we welcome you, and we pray that the Lord will bless each one as we tune in to the service and as we listen to God's word even this evening. I do remember the announcements, and do remember that in the incoming week, in the will of the Lord, all the services that are planned. We do remind you of the children's meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and to be praying much for that work, that the Lord will continue to bless and to continue to keep his hand upon it in the days that lie ahead. We meet again on Wednesday evening for Bible study and for prayer at 8 p.m. And we invite and encourage young and old alike to be here and to be praying and to be coming even to study God's word on a Wednesday evening. Youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. And we look forward even to the young people, another term starting with the youth, and to having that time with them. The service is next Sunday, the Sabbath school, at 10:30 in the morning. The regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And of course, I do remember the seasons of prayer before both of the meetings. All of the literature is in the front porch, all of the new items that we mentioned this morning, the latest Let the Bible Speak magazine, you have the Vision, and you have also some calendars. And we mentioned these to you. If you have any farmers or any farming community neighbours and you'd like to pass those calendars on, there's pictures of farming, there's tractors, no doubt, and there's all of the different machinery. But of course, there's God's word on every month offered. And if you can use those calendars, then please do take them with you as you leave. There's the latest Missionary Council prayer card for 2023. Gives you the detail of what to pray for each day in relation to the missionaries right across the world. And all of these items in the front porch are free. And we do encourage each family even to have those copies as you leave this evening. Remember the little cards with the dates on them as well for the recordings up in our Lurgan congregation for Let the Bible Speak. And there is some recordings later on this week. And it was mentioned this morning that if anyone would like to go, there are two seats available. And if you'd like to go this week to some of those recordings, they are certainly short of numbers, then do mention to your brother Ronnie, and he's a couple of seats in the car. He'd be happy to take you up with him. Do remember as well, the only thing we're looking money for at the minute is Sam Houston's CD, and we have these to hand. We've two already sold. We've only another 13 to go. And so get your name down quick. And our brother Sam Houston, he released this a couple of years ago, and he's the second one already out, but we're pushing the first one first, and then when he comes in the will of the Lord in the month of September, he's going to bring the New Year CD then. But we do encourage you, if you'd like a copy of it, priced at £10, please put your name on the list in the front porch. Again, we remind you of the mission up in Cookstown. Commences this evening and continues for the next 2 weeks, Monday to Friday, there in Cookstown Free Church in the Sandholes Road. It's their 50th anniversary year. It's also the 35th year that they've been on that site there on the Sandholes Road. And so they're commencing the year with the gospel mission for 2 weeks, and the Reverend William McRae will be preaching at those meetings night by night. Do pray for them, and if you can get along and support our brother and sisters there, then we encourage you to do so, apart from the nights when there's meetings here in the church. We mentioned to you again that if you have any items that you're maybe doing a bit of a read out in the house, good quality clothing, toys, books, even Bibles, if you have too many in the house and you're looking to get rid of some, if you leave it into the minister's room here over the next couple of weeks, then that will be passed on to the Let the Bible Speak charity shops, either in Armagh or Banbridge. And they'll be always delighted to have good items to sell and to use. And so if you'd like to do that, then we encourage you, even over the next couple of weeks, we'll undertake and see that those items are passed on to the shops at the start of February. 512 now will commence our worship with this evening. The hymn 512, you'll find it on the page 383. Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. 512, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. We'll still ourselves in God's presence and seek His face this evening. Ask the Lord afresh to draw near. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee afresh, O God, tonight for the gift of faith. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast redeemed us, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but Thou hast redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for that grace that Thou hast given to us. We thank Thee for that grace that Thou hast shown to us. O Father, we acknowledge that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And yet, O God, Thou didst take knowledge of us. We thank Thee for electing us even unto that grace, and for saving us, for keeping us, and for watching over us even unto this very moment. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us faith to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, this night that our faith is grounded in that work which Christ accomplished upon Calvary. The shedding of the blood. The atoning for our sins. We thank Thee, O God, this night that we do truly believe that that work of the cross is a finished work. There's nothing else needs to be added to it. There's nothing else needs to be done. It is enough that Jesus died, that He died for me. O Father, we bow before Thee with praise in our hearts. We thank Thee for the day that Thou hast given to us. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand upon us throughout it. Lord, for Thy presence with us this morning. And it is Thy presence we seek again tonight. We thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts this morning. O Father, that Thou wilt take that which is of Thee and use it. Encourage Thy people in these days. O Father, we realize the devil is still going about as that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. O God, we pray for the children of God. We pray for each one that is before us tonight. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt be near, and that Thou wilt bless every individual. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt search the heart. Even as we come around at Thy precious word, as we read it, as we hear it preached once again, that Thou wilt breathe upon it, that Thou wilt use it, O God. O Father, if there be one still out of Christ, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them, that Thou wilt save their precious soul, that Thou wilt give them that peace, peace with God. O Father, we yearn that each one will be saved. Lord, remember us here tonight. Remember the cause of Christ and remember the work here in Six Mile Cross. In this surrounding area, we pray for Thy blessing. We pray that Thou wilt work in this year. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray for children to be reached, for young people. We pray for adults, for families. We pray for elderly. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt have mercy. That Thou wilt save precious souls. That Thou wilt do a great work. That Thou wilt do a work that even the community sits up and takes notice of. And they have to say it is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. O Father, draw near, we pray Thee. Remember our land as a whole. O God, for the wind of God to be breathing upon it. For the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For that shower of blessing to come. O Father, we ask Thee that Thou wilt turn the tide. We ask Thee that Thou wilt give us seasons of refreshing, seasons of revival. We pray that 2023 will be a year when God moves in Northern Ireland. O Father, come, we pray Thee. Bless us tonight as we're here. Bless every light gathering. We think up and down the land. We think of further afield in the mainland. We think, O God, of Thy work right across the world. Every place tonight that meets to worship Thee and to hear Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless it with Thy presence. We pray that Thy word will be driven home with power. We pray that souls will be saved. That backsliders will be restored. And that Thy people will be built up in their most precious faith. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. 306. As we continue to worship this evening, 306, the page 300. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend His cause. Maintain the honor of His word, the glory of His. his cross. We'll stand again as we sing on to the Lord. I'm going to read again from the book of Acts in the chapter 27. Turn to our studies in this book this evening. Acts 27. The verse 14. Acts 27, verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind named Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God have given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and they found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour as if or as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. We were on the ship 216 souls. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word afresh to our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. We're going to sing together as our tithes and offerings are lifted to hymn 557. We sang this together on Friday evening at the end of our time of prayer. 557, when you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations and troubles abound. Let me encourage you to sing as we lift the offering. Noticed over a number of weeks, the singing during the offering hymn is very quiet. And I usually only hear myself. And I thought, oh, it's maybe just something here. I was away preaching elsewhere last Sunday, and it was exact same. During the offering hymn, it was complete silence almost until all the offering was lifted. Now, I know you're digging deep. You're trying to find the highest coin or the highest note you have in your pocket. And if you need a spanner to get the extra 50p out, we can arrange for that as well. But do sing and do even praise the Lord as we lift our offerings this evening. 557. Encourage you to have your Bible open, Acts 27. I want to speak this evening on the Christian's conduct in the storms of life. Let's just still ourselves and ask the Lord to speak, even through His Word this evening, to each and every heart. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. And we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the unchangeable One. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank Thee, O God, though everything around us may change, and though even we may be brought into storms and or great tempests in life, yet we thank Thee that the great unchangeable God still stands with us, and He still stands for us. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy Word now to every heart. That Thou wilt speak, O God, use me this night to, Lord, not simply bring forth my thoughts, but, O God, to preach forth Thy Word. Fill us with Thy Spirit, and minister to each and to everyone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Warren Wiersbe, writing in this particular passage, he says, "A crisis does not make a person, but rather a crisis shows what the person is made of." You know how true that is in any walk of life. Whenever you want and you seek to see how good an individual is, you won't understand and you won't see truly the worth or the value of an individual whenever everything is going well. If it's all calm sailing, if it's all mountaintop, then you'll think, well, we'll see, we'll test them whenever that individual's found in a testing situation, then we'll truly know how good they are. That applies to the child of God as well. That applies in the storms of life. As we looked at on previous occasions, the storms of life affect everyone. The storms of life affect the Christian as well as the unsaved. The storms of life can blow in upon all of us. Paul went through the storms of life just as each and every one upon aboard that ship went through the same storms of life. The tempest blew for day after day. But what ought to stand out is a difference is the experience and the conduct of the Christians in those times. It ought to be different in how an individual that is saved conducts themselves compared to an individual who is not saved. We see that even as we looked at Paul. Here he was in this boat in that storm for a period of 2 weeks. We read together there this evening, the 14th night. They're still aboard the ship. A journey which should have only taken a matter of hours. Half a day at most just to come out off the coastline and just come round the island a little bit to the Fair Havens. They desired that better port for winter. It literally should have been just out, round and in. And yet 14 days later, they're still at sea. 14 days and nights tossed to and fro. 14 days and nights of no sunlight and no stars to guide them, just complete darkness and just waves and the howling of the wind. And yet we see with Paul just how remarkable his conduct was. Joseph Parker, the preacher, he said of this passage, he says, "Paul began the journey as a prisoner, but he ended the journey as a captain." And we see that even in what we read this evening. Paul, by the end of the passage, is given the instructions. He's telling the centurion what to do. He's stopping men from getting off the ship. He's ensuring that everyone stays in the one place. Such was the Christian character and conduct of the man that he was listened to and he was obeyed. Now, certainly we can learn much from Paul in this passage. We can learn from the practical lessons that are before us. A man whose soul's anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I wonder as we look at that this evening for ourselves, each one that is saved, as you go through the storms of life, if you go through the challenges and the changes in life, I wonder, are you anchored? Are you anchored in Christ? Three things I want to leave with. What do we see of Paul's conduct even in the storms of life? Well, firstly, the verse 23 through to the verse 26, even in the storms of life, Paul expounds the Word. Paul expounds the word. Verse 23, he tells him, he says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And he says, Lo, God hath given thee all them that seal with thee." Verse 26, he will also say, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." After all of those days and nights of darkness and the raging wind and the howling sea, Paul steps up, Paul stands forth into the midst of them, and he began with those words, "I told you so." In other words, "Sirs, ye should have listened unto me. I told you, don't leave, and yet you left." Remember, before him are men that are terrified. There's experienced seamen. There's also captives. There's also those in chains. Individuals that have never been on a ship before. Individuals that have never been on a stormy sea before. And all of them, all 275 of them, have lost hope. All of them. Paul steps forth. He's looking at 275 faces looking at him. Ones that should have been in control. And also those that should have been in captivity. And yet, regardless of who they were, whether they were the captain or whether they were the centurion, whether they were the seamen, the soldiers, or the prisoners, he spoke to them all the exact same way. He brought them God's word. He says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "whose I am and whom I serve." And he just tells them exactly what Christ said to him. He told them everything. He didn't just tell them the good news. He told them the bad news. He says, he tells it there, he says, "God have given thee all that seal with thee." There's the good news. All these men are terrified for their lives. And Paul says, "God has promised all of yous are safe. God has promised all of yous are going to be spared." But then he also tells them the bad news. "You're going to be cast on an island." In other words, you'll lose the ship. This ship's done for. This ship won't survive. Captain, you're going to lose your ship. Seamen, you're going to lose your jobs because your captain won't have a ship for you to go to sea anymore. He tells them the good news and he tells them the bad news. He tells them all of it. You see, as Christians, whenever we share God's word, we don't nitpick, we don't pick and choose which we share and which we don't. If you're telling individuals the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to share with them the good news and the bad news. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ died. The bad news is you're a sinner, and if you reject Christ, you're going to hell. There's two sides to the gospel which must be preached. There's the love of God, but there's also the wrath of God. There's a heaven to win, but there's a hell to shun. And the gospel message must be preached. And the gospel message, if you're bringing God's word as a Christian in the storms of life, you must be faithful to God's word. You must bring both sides of it. You must bring both parts of it. We are those that are at enmity with God. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's hell. We must always remember the gospel message deals with sin as well as salvation. The gospel message is not just Christ died for all. No, Christ died for his people. All have sinned, yes, but Christ died for his people. And if you reject the gospel of Christ, you're lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, in other words, those that have fallen short of the glory of God. Must be emphasized to people. The gospel at times is even relayed to us and told to us it's offensive. It brings offense to the sinner because you're telling them you're a sinner. You're falling short of the standard of God. Your heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But Christ can save you. There's two sides to the gospel. And it must all be told. The whole message must be presented. Must tell man and woman about the vileness of their sin as well as the victory of the Savior. Paul expounded the word to them. He exposed their shortcomings. Verse 21, he says, "You should have hearkened on to me." There's where you fell short. There's where you didn't listen. There's where the standard was and you didn't follow it. You should have listened. But then he explained their salvation. God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You're saved if you stay in the ship. He expounded to them the word of God. What a blessing that is whenever you see a child of God in the midst of the crisis. That they're not panicking, they're speaking the word. Even whenever the world's turned upside down and all of the tempest and all of the darkness and all of the tossing to and fro, and yet there's an individual, there's a child of God, and they're saying, you know what God says? And they just bring forth God's word. 14 days and nights, no sunlight, no idea where they are. And yet Paul says, let me tell you what God says. This is what I believe. He expounded the word. Secondly, he encouraged them. Verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I believe God. Verse 22, he had already told them. He already said to them, "Now I exhort you, be of good cheer." But now he says it again. And this time he brings it with more fervency. He brings it with more earnestness. Why? Because he's just brought to them God's word. And he just follows it up with those wonderful words. "Now, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Why? I believe God. He's surrounded by men whose faces were a picture of absolute fear and terror. He tells them to cheer up. I believe God. I believe His Word. There's 276 individuals on board. 273 of them are in their sin. Paul stands before them all, absolutely petrified, ungodly individuals. And Paul just stands forth and he says, "I believe God." He has unshakable faith in God's Word. "God has spoken to me. I believe what God has said. Therefore, be of good cheer." Now at this stage, if you remember from verse 15, it tells us they couldn't bear up into the wind. They let her drive. They've lost all control of the ship. They're blown so far off course. Whenever you read verse 27 and you sit down and work out the geography, they're 500 miles off course. That Sea of Adria that's speaking of, that's the modern-day Ionian Sea. They're 500 miles from where they should have been. And they're there in that darkness day and night, and yet Paul just stands forth and he says, "Be of good cheer, I believe God." And individuals would say, "But Paul, you're so far from where you're meant to be." Don't care, I believe God. "Paul, this is not how you planned it. This is not how you expected this journey to go." Don't care, I believe God. His word's clear. "I'm going to Caesar." "Paul, you're nowhere near Caesar." "I don't care. God says I'm going to Caesar." His word's clear to me. My, what an encouragement that is whenever a child of God is resolute in their faith in Christ. They believe God's word. And though everything around them shakes, they don't shake. Though everything around them shakes, yet their faith doesn't shake. Here's Paul. The entire world for them all is collapsing around about them. They're strapping ropes around the ship, trying to hold it together. And Paul says, "I believe God." God says, "I'm going to Rome." His word's that clear. You see, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it tells us God's not the author of confusion. God's a God of clarity. God's word's clear. Therefore, you can trust it. Regardless of how bad your situation, your circumstances may be, regardless how much it changes, even a very short period of time, God's word's clear. Trust it. If God has said it, shall he not do it? No. It's a wonderful encouragement. You have at least one in the company that trusts God completely. Just even one. We all can have heart flutters at times, can't we? We can all get upset at times, but to have one, just one, that stands and says, God's word says, that's the end of it. They have one that regardless how dark the day in which we live is, that just is so strong in their faith and so strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, and such is their commitment and their belief and their holding of the Word of God, that they cannot be shaken off it. That's Paul here. He's the encouragement to them all. He's rallying even, I believe, Luke. He's rallying even those that are saved in that boat. He's rallying them and encouraging them, because they've already said, Luke's wrote and he says, all hope's lost. Paul stands forth, I believe God. Why, that must have done look so good. Everyone else loses hope, but Paul doesn't. I trust God completely. Maybe they thought to themselves, some in the ship, they're like, what help are we going to have here? And yet Paul has faith. He doesn't tell them. He can't say, well, I don't know how we're going to get to Rome. I don't know, is anyone going to draw alongside? I have no idea, but I believe God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul couldn't see the island, and Paul couldn't see a hope in terms of any help coming to them, and yet Paul believed God. I'm sure many know the verse, Romans 1:17. It says, the just shall live by faith. Paul recites that verse from Habakkuk 2 in the verse 4. The context for that statement in the days of Habakkuk, as he was a prophet unto the people, was that no matter how bad things got for the Israelites, they would still keep believing. That the difference would be in the Israelites, that those that still believed, those that still held to the covenant God of heaven and of earth, to the covenant God of Israel, that those that still believed in Him, regardless what the Babylonians did, regardless what all of the enemy forces did, that those that held on to the Lord, those were those that were justified. In other words, saved. That ought to be the same today. So many in the world live in fear. I've done for the last number of years. Individuals terrified with recessions, pandemics, wars. Much worry, much fear. Individuals longing and begging, please, can I have my £600? So scared for next week. Individuals during lockdown, do you know what the biggest selling thing was during lockdowns? Alcohol. They were so scared they drunk themselves stupid. Depression tablets. All of those things to calm people. Calm nerves. Fear in mankind. The child of God ought to be able to stand forth in those times with a message of hope. Believe, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe His word. Why are there wars? Why are there pandemics, pestilences? Why are there rumors of wars? Because it's a birth pangs to Christ coming back. Everything that's happening in the world, the recessions and all of the turning, all of the changes, the pestilences, and all of those things, and the wars that happen, the rumors of the wars, it ought to encourage every child of God. God's word's true, it's coming to pass. He's told us there'll be rumors of wars and there'll be wars. He's told us there'll be pestilences. He's told us there'll be times of uprising. He's told us about what will happen in economies. God's let it all out for us. Therefore, be of good cheer. Why? I believe God, his word's coming to pass. You ought to be able to encourage even each other on occasions to rejoice. The Lord's in control of all of this. You ought to be able to speak to the lost and to tell them Christ is coming back. You need to be ready. Everything he said is coming to pass. My hope's in him. He expounded the word. He encouraged them. Thirdly and finally, when you consider his example. His example. Verse 34. Paul says to the man, he says, "Wherefore I pray you, take some meat." Verse 35. When he had thus said, or thus spoken, he took bread, he gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. I love this detail, the narrative. Here they are in this ship. Previous verses, they start and think, verse 27, the end of it, they start and think, we're coming near land. I don't know how they believed that, or the experience obviously was there. They maybe heard the difference, or they saw the difference in the water or something. But they start sounding out to see how far it is. Now what that meant was they were dropping things over the side. They didn't have radar or sonar in those days. They dropped a rope with lead in it over the side of the ship, and they were able to measure how deep the ground was until they hit the seabed. The first time down, 20 fathoms. The second time, 15 fathoms. And they realized we're getting closer and closer to land. And the fear immediately came up, well, what about the rocks? If we hit the rocks, we're done for. And so the next thing they tell us is that they put out the anchors, four anchors, verse 29, out of the stern. In other words, they did a handbrake turn. They just pulled the handbrake of the ship, as it were. They dropped the four anchors in one go. It just came to a complete stop, and it just straightened it up. They're waiting for day. But verse 30 tells us some of the crew, maybe in sheer panic or maybe just pure selfishness, they take the little lifeboat that they'd lifted back up into the ship. They take it and they're trying to get it back right on over the side because they're going to jump out. They're making it look as if, oh, we're just working with the anchors here, and they're bringing the boat over to the edge and they're about to lower it in. And Paul says, if those men get off this boat, you're all going to die. The soldiers run over immediately. They cut the ropes. The boat goes over. Every man still in the ship. You think of the tension at that moment. All of the fear, the panic. Maybe not even anger. Maybe those that were trying to get into that little boat, now they're filled with anger against Paul for stopping them in their tracks, for stopping them from what they wanted to do. And Paul's just there, and he makes it so clear. Yous are all staying in this boat. God says if everyone stays in the boat and stays together, you're all saved. And the panic and the anger and all of that different emotion that's there. And Paul just goes, well, time for dinner. Everyone's looking at him going, what? He goes, I think it's time for tea. We haven't had in 14 days. You must be hungry. And you can just imagine in that moment, the thought that's going through their head, how could you possibly want to eat? We are doing our best just to stay alive. We are so filled with fear. We've no idea what's going to happen. We can't even see how close we are to land. And you're talking about getting dinner. Paul goes, absolutely, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the food. Lovely we detail that, isn't it? He prays and he gives thanks for the food publicly. He's not embarrassed. Many Christians, when they go to a restaurant, maybe sitting with their family or sitting with a group of friends, how many will pray out loud and give thanks for the food? Many whisper across the table, you pray into yourself and say thanks and I'll do the same. Paul's in front of 273 sinners. He says, I'm going to pray for the food now. Father, thank you for the food. Just starts to eat. He eats as if it's a normal day. He eats as if they're sitting in the home around the dinner table. Still the waves crashing over the side, the wind's still howling, but Paul, he's just sitting there chewing on his bread. How's that possible? Peace. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He had preached it to them, men, be of good cheer. I believe in God. He had showed that faith. Now he's shown it in his actions. Men, I've already said I believe in God. I'm happy to eat. I have no fear. Peace. You see, every child of God, remember, Christ is a Prince of Peace, and he declared in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? God's in control. One example, Paul was in the midst of that storm to everyone before him. He just gets the food out and he says, men, you need to eat. And I'm hungry. And I'm going to eat. He takes that food and he just breaks the bread and he gives the thanks. He just starts to eat. And every one of them, notice the detail. He ate the bread, they ate the meat. Every one of them's encouraged because of what Paul says and does. Even though just 2 minutes before, no doubt they were spitting at him and seething with anger because he'd cast their little boat over the side, and yet every one of them turned in that moment and say, okay, we'll eat. An example, the Christian Paul was. After all, he knew all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Even the storms work together for good. And so he didn't simply say, be of good cheer. He was of good cheer. No fear. His example to everyone was one of trust. And because of Paul and because of his conduct, everyone was saved. The fear left them all. Yes, he spoke up, but he practiced what he preached. Now, sometimes, whenever things are going wrong, things are going bad in our lives, we can say the words, we say, yes, Romans 8:28. I believe God, and yet below the surface you're a wreck. You're panicking. You're like the swan on top of the water. You're so beautiful above the water, but yet below the water, the legs are going like mad. Not Paul. Paul preached to them. He told them God's word. Encouraged them. But he was the example to them. We're going to finish this chapter next week. We're going to see every single individual in that boat is saved. They get off the ship and they come to the island. Even those that couldn't swim, bits of board were there to hold them. Everyone survives. Paul was that Christian to show them. Man, I believe God. God's in control of everything. Tell me, are you that? Are you that example to your families, to your friends, to everyone? Be of good cheer. I believe God. Oh, that we would be, that we would glorify the Lord. That we would bring men and women to Him even by how we conduct ourselves. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, for what we have learned from Thy word this evening. We thank Thee for the testimony of Paul, even upon that ship. We thank Thee, O God, for how Thou didst keep him, how Thou wast with him. We thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, that he was in turn that encouragement to each one. Thank Thee for the peace that he had. Yea, that peace that passeth all understanding. O Lord, bless us now as we separate one from the other. Speak on through Thy word, encourage Thy people. Oh, Father, we pray for any that are outside of Christ. Now, what we have seen and learned even from the life of Paul, oh God, give them that desire for that in their lives, that they will not be wrecked with fear, but rather that they will have that peace in their own lives personally. Oh, bless us, we pray Thee. Watch over us in the week to come. Bless all of the work, the activity of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.